Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays at 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. Yeah, here on the West Coast in beautiful Los Angeles. Thank you guys for joining me as usual. And as always, I have an amazing guest today. I mean, this, I'm telling you, this book will knock you out, guys. And I am going to tell you also how you can get a hold of it at the end of the show. But one of the most common subjects that I have, you know, in my office, coming from clients, patients, is trying to grow up in early environments which are really toxic and difficult. And, you know, don't we all sort of dream of being part of a loving and supportive family? You know that? Can you imagine that, guys? A family where we feel cared for and understood, where we can find comfort and help and praise when life seems to be a little challenging. You know, I always tell my clients that every human being is entitled to a safe haven which can offer love, compassion, and constitute our pillar of strength. But it's a polar opposite sometimes. Of course, they're coming to me and my special guest for help because we hear a lot of this. So we grow up in families where we're not understood, viewed as unique individuals, or supported during our lifetimes. Our whole lifetimes, if we let it go on, as a matter of fact. They don't appear to be supported with what we perceive to be a success. Instead, they want to put us down sometimes. Our families can clip our wings, as I say, and show us their path to follow as the only way forward. Right? And it's all about them. But my guest is going to tell us a lot more about how we break out of that toxic environment and find our own healthy journey to be happier and healthier functioning adults. And that's what we're talking about today. So my special guest in the studio live today is Dr. Sherry Campbell. She's a nationally recognized expert in clinical psychology, an inspirational speaker, former radio host of The Dr. Sherry Show for the BBM Global Network, and also TuneIn Radio. She's a former contributor for HuffPost and the author of several books, and we're going to also tell you about those books and where you can get them as well. She's one of the top read contributors for Entrepreneur.com, and she's also a regularly featured expert. You've seen her on radio and television. As we talk more and more, you go, oh, yeah. That's Dr. Campbell there. She was featured in Time.com, Self.com, USA Today, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, and numerous other media outlets. And I could go on and fill the whole page with her accolades, but I want to get to talking to her. So, hi, Dr. Sherry. So
hi.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's really fun being in studio with you today.
This is an amazing book you've written, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good for you.
Yep. Gotten it out there, that's for sure.
You got it out there, girl. It's called But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath, Dr. Sherry Campbell. And boy, you put a lot of thought and work into this. And you were also saying that, well, you know, because of your upbringing, this is what fueled you to write this. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and really what
Absolutely.
Moved you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I grew up in a very toxic family, and a moment where you know right away, you know, you evolve through it. You're in the family that you have. You don't know that there's a difference in other families. I mean, you kind of know when you look around, but you have the parents you have. And as children, we need to feel that our parents are competent. Yeah. And so we will project that onto them, whether they are or not, mm-hmm. which means we take the blame for all of the dysfunction.
Yeah.
So as I evolved teenage years, I started being really angry and I was never heard in my anger. So I got louder.
Sure.
And then I was called crazy.
Sure.
Oh, that's right.
And then, I believed that one. I believed the crazy, and I had these limiting beliefs about myself. And I had this dynamic where I had a golden child brother, and I was a scapegoat.
Oh, okay.
So I had these polarities where I would see them adore him, but be disgusted by me, and I had a hard time figuring all of that out.
Oh, my goodness.
As I aged, and I kept succeeding, thinking, well, that's going to garner me the love I want. It did for him. It did not for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Then I had a child. I was dating toxic people, married one, you know, so I realized at some point, like, I was the common denominator in some of this, but when I had my own child, it was very clear to me how dysfunctional my family was, and I really began to evolve at that point to get out.
Yeah. Good for you. So was there any moment or any aha experience for you that, that made you say, wow, this is really weird? I mean, because, right, when you're in the environment, you don't know. You and I, as psychologists, we know the term crazy makers.
Yes.
Right. They make us crazy. I feel like we're crazy, like you just said. So was there a determining point for you where you went, oh, my God, this is so weird?
Yes. Many. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was my first book. They knew I was writing it. My mother helped finance it. They knew the content. My father read the poetry, which is probably the most painful part of that book.
Yeah.
It was published... 2003 or something.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it was came out in December. My birthday's in April, and they gang up warfared me on my birthday and annihilated me for writing it.
Oh my gosh, honey, because it was sort of the truth to tell your story.
Yes. And in toxic families, there's a big allergy to the truth.
Yes, there is. Absolutely. And by the way, your earlier book, which folks can still get, is called Loving Yourself, The Mastery of Being Your Own Person. And that really was a cathartic experience for you.
Yeah. I had thought if they could see me, not through me confronting them, but through a gentle way of hearing my story, that we'd have this Oprah moment. So we never met Oprah, needless to say. And I hit bottom.
Right.
So
right.
It turned from, and it was on my birthday, the actual day of my birthday, that they attacked me. So it was a rebirth.
Yes.
I have not had contact with my sibling or father since that point.
Right.
Harder to let go of a mother, I think, for any child.
I know.
That took 4 more years.
Wow. Good heavens. Well, and we're going to find out sort of how you kind of move through moving away from the family and all that. So what I like to do is talk about some of the most common sort of behaviors that can, like, totally mess us up and have messed you up. I mean, and also, you know, so many to name, you know, but I mean, if you can just sort of share with us what behaviors just were so toxic in your environment.
So in my environment, it was even not even just words, but looks of disgust.
Oh, yeah.
Tones of voice.
Yeah.
You can't prove that stuff.
Right.
I was ignored a lot, neglected a lot. My feelings were never heard. I would get provoked. I'd react and then I'd be called abusive.
Gotcha.
So standing up for myself was labeled as abuse.
Uh-huh.
So then I was confused because, I mean, I was mad, so maybe I was abusing. So I took it on. Very egocentric. They're self, you know, preoccupied rather than self-referential.
Right.
It has to be about them. They can engulf us or totally ignore us. They live through us. They separate and divide, you know, is their big thing.
Right.
Bottom line is they're selfish.
Yes.
It's all about them.
Yeah.
And rules, if they apply to you, they don't follow.
Right. It's so true.
A little confusing.
Oh, my God. I have, as you do, I'm sure, I have clients who come in to see me, patients, whatever. And they'll say, well, first of all, I'm here because I'm still trying to figure out as an adult who I am.
Yes.
You know, you hear this all the time, right?
Oh, yes.
And then they say, because they've done a little reading or they've had some previous therapy, and they say, well, my parents were Axis 2 Cluster B. My mother was a borderline.
I love it.
You're laughing. I love it.
I love it.
My dad was a narcissist and my mother was borderline. Is this usually the case when you're growing up with parents? And maybe you can elaborate on what I'm talking about for listeners.
So what I did is I just simplified all that jargon, right?
Right.
Because if you're anything on the personality disorder spectrum, narcissistic, borderline, histrionic, antisocial, or dependent, you have actually elements of all of them.
Yep.
So I really don't want to go in and say, my mother is a borderline with a narcissistic defense and she's histrionic. I mean, that sounds like Japanese. So they're crazy making.
Yeah.
And you can tell by how you feel.
Yes.
The label really doesn't matter, right? the label isn't what's important. It's how you feel. And when you feel crazy, your blood pressure is high, and you're constantly walking on eggshells, then you know you're with a toxic person.
Wow. It's really true. And it's tough, like you said, when you're a child. I mean, you're so confused because they're your role models. We sponge up everything that they say to us, and we put those messages in our brains, and we believe it. We're not lovable enough. Can you elaborate on some of those little self-thoughts?
Yes. You leave with not good enough syndrome.
Yes.
NES at the core. And so that is not good. You become a pleaser out of that, which I did. Mm-hmm. And boy, did that get me in trouble, because that attracts toxic people to you like white on rice, right? Like,
And
so I was like, oh, good. Toxic friend. Sure. Toxic boss, toxic boyfriend. You know, I was I did not know my worth. So those people would do that. Now, toxic people don't want you knowing your worth.
Sure.
Because they don't want you to separate.
Right.
And so you get really stuck in this idea that you are completely flawed.
Right.
And my sadness was, I must be flawed. I would like to know what it is, because if I could maybe fix it, it would be cool. But they won't tell you what it is, because ultimately, the only flaw you have is that you have the truth.
Right, right. Oh, my God, it's so true. Mm-hmm. And you also talk about, and I just want to identify this for our listeners who are saying, maybe that was me, or maybe I'm not crazy. You also talk about the 8 behaviors that totally mess up your children. Mm-hmm. So I want you guys to listen to this, because this is, if you're becoming a new parent, don't do this.
Yes.
So Sherry?
Yes, yes.
What are those 8 behaviors?
We don't want to mess up our kids, right? We would hope that we wouldn't. So the first thing we want to do is, we don't want to ignore or minimize their feelings.
Right.
I've had so many parents of my patients sit in my office and say, she's cutting to be dramatic.
Hello?
I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's a pretty decent way to go be dramatic. I think it's a little deeper. And then you don't validate that there's any pain there. And so you don't want to invalidate the feelings. Mm. You know, kids might be a little more heightened on their emotions. Mm-hmm. They're kids.
Yeah.
Yes, just go with it, right?
Yes, they are.
You don't want inconsistent rules. Mm. If you really want to create confusion and bad behavior in a kid, give them inconsistent rules.
Right.
Don't talk down to your kid and then say they can't talk down to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't curse at your kid and then say they can't curse at you. Mm-hmm. That lacks logic. So that's what I mean by inconsistent rules.
Yep.
Don't ever make your child your friend.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Or your therapist.
Yes. Okay? Exactly.
You can be friendly with your child.
Yes. Yes.
But your parent aspect of you should always be holding the space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't put down your child's other parent, your child's other sibling. Don't gossip in front of each other. My family was just built in this gossip ring.
Major splitting. Huh?
And really, while you're in the room, you're being gossiped about. So it's kind of really tricky on how to handle that. You feel like a non-person.
Yes.
Toxic parents, you don't want to punish the needs for independence and separation.
Yeah.
It's not a rejection of you.
Yes.
It's the natural course of development, and no one's doing it to betray you. They're just aging. So
that's right.
Toxic people kind of want puppies, not dogs.
Sure.
They don't treat your child as an extension of you. If you didn't go to college and you have a child who decides they don't want to go to college, you can't punish that.
Right.
Right. They are in this world, and you're to watch them, but let them be their own person.
Yes.
You know, let them develop
Allow
into their own person.
Mm-hmm.
And don't meddle in their relationships. I had a mother of a patient that would sit on Instagram and social media and stalk her daughter wherever she went, and
oh,
would call her from place to place to place.
Oh my gosh.
I have never seen anything like it in my life. And social media, thank God, was not when I was young.
Yes.
So watching this now is very interesting. Mm. Literal stalking. I wish the mother would go out and have a life of her own.
Yes.
And
yes.
being overprotective.
Yes.
I grew up under a severe worrier.
Mm.
And worry turns into control.
Right.
And then control turns into you get afraid of everything. You're nervous to go anywhere and do anything new.
Right.
Right. So you got to allow your kids to have, healthy levels of frustration.
Sure.
So that they can develop resilience.
They
so those
really
are those
do.
8 things you want to be real careful of.
They're huge, Sherry. By the way, in case you just tuned in, guys, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Dr. Sherry Campbell. She's a clinical psychologist, very well known in the media, and also she's a writer for so many publications. She's written a book It's her latest. Sorry, guys, I'm still dealing with this cold from last week. It's better, though, right? The book's called But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. This is the book you guys have all been waiting for because Sherry's experienced it. She's a clinical psychologist who has been doing this a long time. She's researched it and lived it. So this is the book that you have to get because it's also a workbook and it has wonderful practical ideas for you to help you therapeutically kind of separate from your toxic family. People go, how can I separate from my family? Ah, that's that huge enmeshment thing that, yes, you know, and we've been imposed with so much guilt.
Yes, and societal guilt.
Yes, too. Exactly.
So it's not just family. That's why the book is called But It's Your Family, because you have no right. idea the countless times that I've heard that statement said to me.
Right, exactly. Come on, but it's your family.
That's right.
I know. I hear you, honey. And oh, I just wanted to throw this out because I think a lot of people are interested in, you know, we say toxic parents. So how does a toxic mom differ from a toxic dad?
So they're interesting. So yeah. The toxic mom, it's not, and I don't want to discount anyone who had a physically violent, emotionally right. out of control mother, because they sure. certainly exist.
Sure.
However, that is more typically male. Okay. Right. The toxic mother is your mean girl who's passive aggressive. It's very covert. When I watched the movie Tangled for the first time with my daughter and I saw Mother Gothel, it was like watching my home environment with
yes.
my mother.
Wow.
There's a scene where she puts her arm around Rapunzel and says, look at this beautiful, strong, amazing woman in the mirror. And then she looks at Rapunzel. She's like, oh, you're here too.
Oh, my
And then
gosh.
Rapunzel's kind of offended and shocked. And she's like, oh, you're so sensitive. You take everything too personal.
Wow.
So
textbook, huh?
That is what I grew up in.
Right.
And you can't prove it because in that scene, had Rapunzel confronted, she would just continue on with you're too sensitive.
Wow.
And that is how I was raised.
Yes.
And so it's a little bit more insidious, but also a little bit more evil.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they don't do anything bad enough quite to right. have to feel sorry for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that it's tough. So we're going to start, you know, talking a little bit about how to separate, you know, from a toxic family and how to do it. I mean, let's see. Personally, a little transparency here.
Yeah.
I have literally had to kick a family member out of Thanksgiving. A huge family dinner. Everybody's together. And this is a peaceful time. We're thanking whoever for all we have, you know.
Yeah.
And I've literally several times had to take that family member into the kitchen quietly when everyone's very uncomfortable at the table, kind of fidgeting and getting drunk because yeah. they can't deal with it.
Anyone got another shot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And say, I've warned you when you came in that you can't do overacting and drama. You cannot start arguments with certain family members. This is not working. And I told you, so you're going to need to leave. And that was very hard for me to do.
That's
but
so hard.
Because there are some family members that were, you know, really mad at me and saying, how dare
but
you
it's
do
your
this
family.
Is Thanksgiving, but it's
sure.
your family. But the whole group was visibly fidgeting and going, oh my God, I'm really going to, I got to leave early. So I think for the sanity of that group, actually,
you did the right thing.
Bye bye. Thank you.
You did the right thing.
It was just, you, and it was toxic and everyone knew the game. So everyone's sort of psychologically geared up for holidays.
Yes. Yes.
Because
I know that very well.
You do,
I've got geared up, mastered.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah. You gathered your strength and took a while. You know, it always
yeah.
does. Did you have to kind of, I mean, you're a clinical psychologist now
sure.
and you've been practicing for such a long time and you've learned so much and you help so many people in your own, you know, healing. What were some of the things that really kept you strong and got you through your healing?
So, gosh, I don't know that with all transparency, that I feel strong as much as I was fed up.
Yeah.
It came to a point when I cut ties. Actually, they cut me off is really what happened. Then there were some such evil betrayals that occurred after that. Then I decided to not mend fences and I blocked everything. I had to block, protect my daughter,
sure.
protect me.
Oh, yes.
I will say that I did try low contact as my first thing because I my mother's name would come up on my caller ID and my blood pressure would increase.
Yes.
So gearing up, like you had explained about your family member. So I tried low contact where I would see her very little. It was nice that I lived in another state.
Oh.
And no matter what amount of time I was around here, it would become toxic. So then I thought, I'll just do cordial contact.
Okay.
If we happen to talk, I will be cordial. It'll be quick and sweet. So it was an evolution for me, but no contact came out of I was going to stay in a burning building and die emotionally, or I was going to jump to have some level of health. So I did not do it out of confidence, and I did not do it out of fearlessness. I had no other choice.
Right, right.
So confidence came after. I just start to build that after in a very alone space.
Exactly. So in a little bit, too, I want to talk about more of the effects that we experience, you know, in toxic families and how children, well, we can talk about that right now.
Sure.
And then I want to jump into more about cutting off. So not coming, going back here. But you talk about, you have a great chapter in this book, But It's Your Family. It's called You're Not Crazy.
Yes. Yes. Oh, are we so convinced we are crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So you talk about the effects of the childhood that's raised in a toxic family, and you have consistent feelings of doubt and confusion. Can you elaborate a little bit more so some listeners who may be experiencing this can go, oh, my goodness, that's me.
Yeah, I would say I have a funny story that just popped up in my head, but when I was still in contact, so still in the system that was poisoning, I was going to meet a friend for lunch. And she was 10 minutes late. And in that 10 minutes, I'd convinced myself I must have done something wrong, that we were probably never going to be friends again. And I started to panic. And I was wondering and thinking in my mind, what did I do that I don't know about that was so bad that my friend would not show up for lunch? And then when she started walking up to the table, I was like, okay, right. I just went through this whole thing in my mind. But in looking at it, that was my experience so much as a child of my voice had no power to influence. And so I would also be ostracized for reasons I could not understand.
Yeah.
For example, you supported the book, you knew the content, you knew it was being written, you helped finance it, and then you destroy me for writing it.
Right. Interesting.
So I don't get it.
Confusing.
Right?
Exactly.
So that is one of those effects. And then also being afraid of people. Being afraid of relationships because I then would take someone's love toward me that was genuine as, are they manipulating me or loving me? And how do I know the difference? And I had a lot of anxiety. You know, I became this anxious overachiever and there's nothing developed in me that feels really good or unconditionally loved because then I can't go back and do
that.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's like there's points where I can't even experience my own.
Yeah.
Value that I offer.
Right.
Yeah. So that's some of that stuff will be lifelong.
Yes, it's true.
Another one is, and this will be in book two, but I can draw love from a relationship, but I can't draw comfort. And I've accepted that.
Yes.
You know, I've accepted that that is how I'm built because I just don't have any experience with consistency.
Yes, exactly. And it tend, you know, all that stuff about our neural patterns that are reinforced and reinforced, and we just live it. And they just go right back to those old places, just like you thinking that about your friend.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And it's so common. It really is. So, yeah, it's so really hard to think about cutting complete ties, you know, with your family members. I had a mentor when I was starting out here, he was a psychiatrist and he was sort of one of my mentors who really helped me get my hours, but also clinically instructed me on certain things and patients. And we were dealing with more psychiatrics with cluster Bs. And he would educate me and he'd say to me, okay, I want you to understand this. Just look objectively. Now, would you, as just this person in the world, kind of walk into a room or a party and you sort of met your family. Would you want to be friends with them? Would you, just knowing, kind of hearing a little backstory on them and then seeing how they operated, watching them around the room, would you really want to be friends with your parents or your siblings? Really, really? And I'd say, no. And he'd say, you got to find your own family.
Yes.
And that starts within, of course. But
it starts with you, for sure. But I think for a long time, I really sought the fantasy family. I realized that that actually hurt me even more because I was expecting things from them that they could never make me feel.
Right.
Because they aren't my family. Right. So I'm in a place of, I have a family and I love them and I don't like them at all.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't look at or put expectations on people that they can't meet for me.
Sure.
And now I don't like it when someone tries to be my family because I'm like, that's a sacred grave.
Sure.
And I jumped from up high to land there. So I'm good. And I'm good because I have found me and a purpose.
Yes.
Right. So finding a purpose grounds me so that no matter what love comes and goes, I don't lose myself.
Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So the hard thing about my family is that I think most people entering the room, at least on my mother or sibling side, would go, oh, I love them. They're so this, they're so that, right? Like she runs charities.
Okay.
She has this billboard that's up that has nothing to do with who she is behind closed doors. And so that was a whole other layer of me feeling stuck in this family and that I had to be wrong because so many people liked my sibling and my mom.
Isn't that a fascinating phenomenon? Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, it's true, all your friends, because they're fun or they're so interesting and upbeat and they're, you know, isn't that interesting how our friends or the neighbors or she's so fun and outgoing and what are you talking about? I like coming to your house. It's fun. You know, I'm like, what?
And then you get this, well, she couldn't have meant it that way when you express something that's been said or done. Oh, you must have misunderstood. She loves you.
Yes.
Or, you know, so those things just continued to keep me stuck.
Sure.
And it made me think because everyone else thought that they were so good that they must be. So again, it kept coming back on me.
Yes.
So what I will tell the listeners is that the only people who know how toxic someone is are those who are the closest to them. And that over time I have found so many people have reached out that they actually had an idea or they saw this trait or that trait, right, in my family. So, and that's all okay. It just took me years because I kept getting reinforced the other way.
Sure, absolutely. Now, when we have siblings, right, do they have their own interpretation of the environment and do they have their own survival techniques? Like we have our survival techniques, right?
Totally.
Who are we in the family? We're the good kid that's always mediating and dancing and being happy and or are we that bully or are we that whatever? How do other, I mean,
I think the more toxic the family system, the more rigid the roles in the family system.
Yes.
The more healthy the family system, the more fluid. So there can be more than one star. In my family, there was only to be one star, and that was reinforced by both my sibling and my family members. So there was only room for one.
Yes.
And so do I think that my sibling took our family indifferently? In many ways, yes. And do I think that he has his issues because of our family? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
But he needs them because the golden child needs the toxic family for their identity. And the scapegoat, God, did I want to be the golden child, however.
Oh,
but
I
the
bet.
Scapegoat, at the end of the day, is the healthiest person in the family because they are the only one not living a lie.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're realizing what's going on. And then that leads to hopefully enlightenment down the line.
Yeah, it's rejection from the family.
Yeah.
And then it's enlightenment down the line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. By the way, in case you just tuned in, guys, you're on the couch here. This is Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Dr. Sherry Campbell. She's written her latest book. It's called But It's Your Family. I love the way you put that. It's true.
It's so true.
Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. And this is a really good book to pick up. It's one of the best psychologically significant books that I've ever read.
Oh, thank you.
That's not filled with psychoanalytic jargon. Really.
Gosh, I've picked up so many books and been trying to figure myself out.
Yeah.
And they were all statistics. And I'm like, okay, super. I'm glad I'm in the norm of 80% of people in my situation. But how do you feel about that? Why isn't anyone telling me how they feel?
Yeah.
Also, none of these researchers seem to have gone through it themselves or they're not willing to put it out there.
Yes.
And so my book has my story, but it has case studies and it has patients that I've worked with and lots of research that I've done, you know, so
yes.
I wanted to get beyond the intellectualizing of right. this and right. get into the hearts of people who yes. go, okay, so she felt that way. She went through this and she has this way out.
Right.
And so I think that's why it's so different and it mm-hmm. stands out.
Beautifully said. So how, let's get to this now. How can we slowly, is it a slow process? You began to kind of talk about that, or of cutting ties with our toxic families, or how do we go about doing this?
It is a slow process, and I hope it's slow, because what I'm not marketing here or selling is cut ties with anyone who makes you mad.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? This should absolutely be your last resort. Mm-hmm. What I tell people is they often know they need to cut ties much sooner than they do, mm. and that's me too. Mm-hmm. And I still don't force anything there. You will know when.
Right.
My when was definitely not the biggest disagreement.
Right.
Okay, but it was, I finally had the last pebble put in that bag of trauma, and it broke the bag.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you that cutting ties often is never sitting down, writing a letter, or having a conversation with these people. Unless you want to take a joyride in a hamster cage, running around in a ball where you're not going to go anywhere, yeah. then don't. There's no point. You're never going to get closure from right. a toxic person. You right. will always be blamed.
Yes.
There will be a smear campaign, and they will abuse you post no contact as well.
Right.
Okay, so just because you do this, they don't change.
Right.
They just now hoover around in different ways.
Yeah.
So what I'll tell you is to start with cordial contact or low contact. Mm-hmm. Both of those are described. And if there are, it's a moderately or mildly toxic family, you probably won't need to cut ties.
Yeah.
But if it's a severely toxic family, you won't do this. It will be done for you.
Right.
So I didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
All yeah. I did was watch them cut me off, watch them betray me with my ex-husband and my trying to triangulate my daughter in the middle of all this.
Oh,
so you touch my kid, you're done.
Yes, absolutely.
So what I did is I didn't have a conversation. I did not confront them.
Okay.
I just stopped mending fences, and then I blocked them from every way to get a hold of me except my physical address, and my mother uses that.
Okay.
Twice a year.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So how, I mean, so they were shocked that you said done.
They might have been. Were,
yeah, they might have been.
They might have been.
Do you find it sometimes where there's a repetitive going back and forth? You know, they kind of like kind of poke when you pull back and draw boundaries.
Sure.
They're poking out for a little more, you know, drama.
Yes.
Those voicemails left on the-
Yes. They do not like being in the gray area.
That's right.
Okay, so the reason there's no closure is because they will find a way to manipulate.
Yes.
Okay, so they also dosed us up throughout life with intermittent kindness.
Because
abuse does not work without it.
Right.
Hope becomes dope.
Right, that's your phrase.
We keep
girl.
Going back thinking, okay, right. well now it's changed,
yes.
right? It's never changed.
Yes.
So here's the thing about no contact. This is not done to be revengeful, vindictive, right. or hateful.
No.
That's why no point in having a conversation. I put this relationship from an active state of communication and relating into an active state of silence and not relating.
Yes.
It's still active.
Right.
Because I still think about them. They're still my family. I can't un-DNA myself from them as much
exactly.
as I would love to.
Sure.
I can't. And so I accept that as my situation.
Right.
And so no contact is only done to protect yourself. It's
right.
not done to hurt them.
Right.
It's done to protect you.
Right. So there's complete denial on your family's part of their contribution at all of anything. I mean, when
complete.
You, okay. And you've tried ad nauseum to explain, you can't do this to me. You can't say this to me.
For 45 years.
Yeah. For 45 years. Uh-huh. My goodness.
So girl. It's never too late to cut ties either.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's never too late to set the boundaries in place. What are boundaries for? They're to keep the good in and get the bad out.
Yes.
It's very simple.
Yes.
Right? They have everything to do with hate and being vindictive.
Right.
What'll be in book two is I received a Christmas present from my mother of a statue swinging, a mother swinging around a daughter.
Oh, yeah.
That was broken.
Wow.
And it's a bronze. So if you know what a bronze is, you have to pretty much throw that off the Empire State Building to break it. Right.
Exactly.
So why did she do this? One, the gift itself is totally inappropriate if we're not in a relationship. But to send it broken, it was not packed as fragile, which she's notorious for packing fragile.
Yeah.
It'd do one of two things. Sends a cryptic message, and it would force me to have to contact her to get a new replacement.
Sure. Exactly. Oh, so, my goodness. You're so smart. You got it down, though.
I threw it in the trash.
Boom.
Okay. No thank you cards. I did that for a couple of years, and sending one or doesn't sending one didn't change them being abusive.
Yes.
Okay. So one thing that they do in my book, I call it holiday hoovering. I'm only contacted on Christmas or my birthday.
Yes.
Right. Because they can flash it around on their billboard saying, I tried. I tried.
Right. That's right.
So this year, the card I got from my mother actually said word for word, I will never stop trying.
All righty then.
Trying for what?
For what? Does that wait? And then all of a sudden your brain goes to, oh, that's a good guilt thing.
And how, again, once again, she's the victim.
Yes, exactly.
But she doesn't call me on August 1st when there's really nothing to make her look good to make that phone call.
Right.
And there's never been three simple words. I am sorry.
Right.
Or you are right.
Right.
Or I was wrong.
Right.
So there's no trying.
Yes.
She's only trying to save her reputation.
Yes, exactly.
And she's using me to do that.
Yes, exactly. I hear you.
So you know what you do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing.
You do. And you have to resist the temptation to not do it because you're so habituated to that knee jerk of, but I have to.
Yes.
Really quickly, up on our website, we have the live line here at 323-203-0815. And sometimes I encourage listeners to call in.
Sure. I would love to hear.
We have a listener who's dying to get through. They've been calling and calling.
Okay.
So we don't have much time left, really, because I want to also just get into a few more things with you in your book as well. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, I'm talking with Dr. Sherry Campbell. She's a clinical psychologist, an amazing psychologist, and she's written one of the best books I've ever read on helping you get through toxic family relations. It's called But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. So we have a listener on the line, and we're going to pull this person up and say, hi, who's this?
Hey, Dr. Michelle.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. This is Jacob. Thank you so much for taking my call, Dr. Sherry Campbell. Such a pleasure to speak with you guys. I know that you don't have a lot of time. I'm an avid on the couch listener. I've been listening for many years now. And Dr. Michelle, I want to thank you for everything that you've done to, really help me throughout my life. And this specific episode really resonated with me. I'm a little nervous. Excuse me.
You're good.
Sherry, thank you. Thank you so much for, taking the time to come on Dr. Michelle's show and really share this wisdom and knowledge that you have. Something that I'm very briefly, I know you guys are running out of time. I just seized this opportunity because I thought no better time than the present. Something I'm dealing with, I do have, my father is, has suffered from many types of diseases. He's got over a cancer, he's had a couple heart attacks, and he's always been the man that I looked up to growing up. After the chemotherapy, after the concussion that he received, he's a completely different man, and he's angry, he's upset, he's frustrated a lot of the time. And then we'll have these days where he is the nicest man in the world, just the most loving, caring, compassionate, who, he'll take me out and he'll say, oh, let me get you guys groceries. I have a one-year-old daughter, so things are a little tight right now. So he'll come out and he'll help us out with things, and he'll do whatever he can to be as loving and kind as possible. And then the next day, it'll be an absolute, 180. And,
did you say he had a concussion, love? Did he have a concussion?
Yes.
Okay. It sounds to me, and how hard for you, because you've sort of are going to grieve the loss of the dad that you used to have, okay? Because it sounds to me like there's some possible prefrontal cortex damage there with the Jekyll Hyde type of mood swings. So what I could offer to you is that I don't think he has a toxic personality. I think that he has an organic brain injury that is causing the labile behavior. And so as his son, what I would love for you to do is when he has his days of not being nice, you need to sort of see that not as psychological, but as a medical problem. You know what I'm saying? And then that way, maybe you can protect your heart some from him, because I do not think he sounds toxic. He sounds brain injured, sweetie. Mm-hmm. And it's going to manifest the same way, and it's going to hurt your heart. But because you have this way to say this is a medical problem, you know, like with my parents, I had neither of them are addicts or mentally ill. So I didn't have anything to cushion my blow.
Right.
Right. It was just me. And so you have this medical issue going on with a concussion, and post-concussion syndrome can last forever.
Yep.
It can create bipolar-like symptoms. I don't know what his docs are doing to treat it, but I'm going to tell you this. It is not you. There's nothing unlovable about you. He does not love you. He probably does not know how to control this part of himself right now. And, you know, keep going with that. But you had a dad prior to the one who was head injured. That was different. And so enjoy the days when he is rational and loving, and remember that that's exactly who he is. And when he has his bad days, you need to remember that he has a medical problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Sherry, you are, Dr. Sherry, you are absolutely wonderful. That actually started to get me a little emotional.
Aww.
I am holding back.
I'm hugging you.
Thank you.
You're good.
I received and sent back infinity fold. Thank you so much.
You're
Dr.
so welcome.
Dr. Sherry Campbell.
I'm so grateful you
Thank
called
you.
In, honey.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I am so grateful and humbled to have had the opportunity to speak with you and receive your wisdom. And truly, really, I know I may not know you both, but all the unconditional love and compassion from my heart to yours. Really, you guys are
back at
changing
you, friend.
The world. And
back at
thank you.
Thank
you so much.
You're a sweet
You're
young
welcome.
Man.
So much.
Thank You're
you
welcome.
So much. Blessings to you both. Thank you for all the help. I'll definitely apply that in my life. And today is a new day moving forward. And I'm going to look at it as medical as opposed to personal.
Yes.
And that is a quantum shift.
Set
so
yourself
you.
Free, love.
Thank
yeah.
You.
You're welcome.
Yes.
All right, Jacob. Yes. Thank you so much for calling in. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. And thank you, Dr. Sherry Campbell.
You're
love you both. And I'll definitely be picking up your book. I can't wait.
Yay. Oh, thank you.
Blessings.
Definitely.
Take
thank
good
you.
Care now. Thanks.
Blessings.
Bye-bye now. That was lovely.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when you write a book like this, all the toxic family people out there accuse me of being a brainwasher. And, you know, I have so much power. It's sort of insane. I'm like, gosh, I should bottle that. If I really have
exactly.
it, I would fix my own life. But this isn't about destroying families,
right?
This
exactly.
is about getting the person who's willing to stop the abuse. I can't break an already broken family, right? Whether
exactly.
they've got that acknowledged or not doesn't matter. But this is a great example of a man that is not toxic.
Yes.
And this, you know, gentleman needs to see this as a medical problem.
Absolutely.
It's not personal because he had a dad prior.
Exactly.
So when your parents are toxic, they're toxic, one, before you show up in their womb, and they progressively get worse as life goes on because they don't mature.
Right.
They're emotionally regressed people.
Oh, my goodness. You're so right. Ugh. Well, you learned what you don't want to in your life, and you have a darling daughter, right?
I do.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
So you have learned. You've been one of those lucky people because, well, you're a psychologist, but you know how not to be a toxic parent.
Yes.
So what are the positive things that you've learned in parenting your daughter, and what would you suggest to other people?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So she needs two sets of three things from me.
Okay.
The first set is she needs my time, my love, and my attention. And she needs to feel heard, loved, and understood.
Yes.
So those three things are what I give her, and I don't need to do anything more. It covers it. She needs my time, love, and attention, and she needs to be heard, loved, and understood. I need to put my phone down. She needs to put her phone down. We need to connect. We laugh. We play.
Aww.
I'm very friendly with her,
yes.
but I'm still her mother.
Right.
She's very different than me, which and yet she's very similar to me.
Uh-huh.
So I don't need her to be what I was as a kid, as an athlete, or she's an artist. I can't draw a stick figure, right? But I love, accept, nurture, and treasure her differences. Mm. And she's just magical. She is an angel that has been placed in my life that I have the honor of raising and carrying. And, you know, I'm the lucky parent who gets, you know, people writing letters to me, her teachers, on her character and stuff like that. And she has done some things in her relationship with her father that I have never done yet, even with my own parents, because she has the confidence to do it.
Yes. Yes.
So what I tried to write in a book, in Loving Yourself, she just told him exactly how she felt. And unfortunately, I married a toxic man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well. But she is able to do that because she is allowed to be in the truth.
Absolutely,
so
she is.
I don't talk bad about her dad, right? But if she comes home and says daddy's like this and daddy's like that, mm-hmm. and that's a truth, mm-hmm. I tell her, yes, you're correct, mm-hmm. because I need her to know and trust her own intuition about people.
Yes,
whereas
absolutely.
When I would come home and say this happened or this happened, yeah. well, they didn't mean it.
Right. It so was blown off and not taken
I was
seriously.
Minimized back to those 8 things you don't want to do to your kids.
Oh, well, she is so lucky to have you as a mom.
Well,
I mean,
thank
bless
you.
Your heart.
Thank you.
And a lot of people, you know, when they grow up in toxic families, they repeat the same patterns over and over again because they haven't been able to step out and just sort of see what's not okay.
Yeah. You know, in book 2, I talk about how self-worth is developed, and my daughter has it developed in her from birth forward.
Right.
So when the world gives her a message other than what she's been believing about herself, she will stand up to that and go, no, that is not true about me. Where if someone said, well, mm-hmm. you're such a loser, mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, no, I totally know that. I've known that for a long time. You're right.
yeah.
Completely. I'm yes. a loser. You're right. So I didn't have it developed. So my path through relationships has been challenging.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so we do sort of repeat those patterns in finding toxic partners, don't we?
Oh my God. I'm like, you're toxic. Cool. Let's go. That's
right. This seems normal.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Look, it love is tension and fear once again.
Right.
So good. My heart rate's back up to the rate that I'm used to having it at, right?
That's right. Those endorphins are not
yes.
happy ones.
Look at those stress hormones go.
Right.
Yes.
We're kicking them out, making yep. ourselves sick again.
That's right. Oh,
my goodness.
Glad I've stopped all that.
Yeah. I'm glad because you've provided this wonderful book for inspiration, and
yeah.
it's so helpful. I mean, it's a yeah. really comfortable read, guys, and I would really
one
recommend
thing I did
it.
Too, yeah. because I don't identify as religious.
Yeah.
I identify
yeah.
as spiritual, but yes. I have sat with so many patients on my couch that identify as religious.
Yes.
And then they go, but what about God? It says, honor thy mother, thy father, and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
So I really covered a chapter on that. And
wonderful.
It might be secular for some people, that particular chapter. But, you know, at the end of the day, we live in a Christian culture.
Yes.
Our holidays
yes.
are built around the Bible,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So even I feared, like, is some kind of bad karma going to hit me because
right?
I've done this and now I'm writing my story, right? This story is not about the toxic people. We don't want to give them more power. This is about the victim becoming a victor.
Yes.
That you have choice.
Yes.
You have rights, and you have every right to cut off anyone, any single person, regardless of your relationship or how they're connected to, that is bringing you down.
Yes.
You have every right to kick them out of your yard.
Mm, thank you so much for that. Beautifully said. I love your power. Mm. If you guys would like to pick up the book, it's called But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. Dr. Sherry Campbell, how can folks get your book?
So my book is available everywhere. In
Yay.
Fact, I've been to 2 Barnes & Nobles and they're there. Now,
Yay.
I'm hearing that they're selling out of Barnes & Noble stores as well. So they can get it, you know, every major bookseller and online. And then my website is SherryCampbellPhD.com. Sherry is Sherrie, because mm-hmm. there's about a billion ways to spell my name.
Yeah.
And then I have a huge, huge supportive Facebook following. I have 104,000 followers.
Wow, that's wonderful.
I blog every day about toxic people, mm-hmm. and I give Thankful Thursday videos. And
lovely.
I call it Sherapy, because many of my patients say that what I do is Sherapy instead of therapy.
There you go.
And I give 3 minutes of sound advice or tips on how to deal with toxic people.
Beautiful.
It's another
right.
place. And that's Sherry Campbell, PhD, on
right.
Facebook.
So you can go into the brick and mortars. You can
yes.
get it online, Amazon, anywhere. And but it's your family.
Isn't that the best?
I love that.
I know. When we were talking title, they were like, that just can't get any better.
I got that. I mean, the moment I saw, oh, yeah, I got the tone of that
yes.
one.
Yes. And mean, you know what I yeah. love is they made the I red. And it stands
exactly.
out from the other numbers so that you have power, that I self
oh,
has that power to go change those toxic ties.
Beautifully. You're beautiful inside and out.
Oh,
thank you.
I feel the same about you. Thank you so much for having me.
So appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you're so welcome. All right, guys, in case you missed the show a little bit, we do have it on rerun and download. All my shows are also available on iTunes podcast for free. So it's On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Check it out. The show will be up in the archive, so I'll have content information for you tomorrow. So you can find out a little bit more about Dr. Sherry Campbell, how to get her book, and listen again. I would really recommend you play a rerun and download it. Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. That's the way it works in the world. Bye-bye.